Hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Meisterpiece. This is a very special New Year's edition, 2013. We wanted to ring the new year in right, so I brought in a special guest, Oliver Bateman, because we're going to do a year in review and all of our predictions for 2013. Oliver is an attorney and assistant professor of legal American history at the University of Texas Arlington and all-around pop culture aficionado. And so there's a lot of pressure today, and we're just going to be talking about all of our favorite things about last year and the coming year. So please welcome my guest, Oliver. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm eager to recap 2012.
Yeah, it's been quite a year.
Unbelievable. So many things have happened that we won't remember 10 years from now or 5 years from now.
Well, this is what we were talking about right before the interview is how being an historian, Oliver is asked to sort of understand how time progresses, obviously. But if you think of even 5 years ago or 7 years ago or 10 years ago, if you name a year, there's maybe one or two things, if we're lucky, that we can even remember. So like all these recaps you see on the web, are they meaningless?
Yeah, I mean, who's going to be able to call out specific facts in the decade or so? Oh, yeah, this was the year that Hayden Panettiere stopped dating so-and-so. And it seems very important. Or 2012 was the year of Twitter or the year of Facebook. These things won't be remembered.
I mean, so, you know, in 2001 we had 9/11, and that's what I always think of. But, like, do we only remember the bad things? Is that what happens?
It's really got to be something breathtaking. Like, take the Newtown Massacre, for instance. It's not fun to – no one wants to make light of something like that. But fact of the matter is, what, 27 people passed away?
Right.
27 people passed away, but it's not a record.
Right.
And I think the news media is irritated that that wasn't a record-setting event. It was a very important event. But because it failed to top the Virginia Tech levels, just like if the day fails to top the all-time high – It fades into history.
Well, like you mentioned on, I think it was on Twitter, how you felt like the newscasters were actually disappointed in some sense that, like, it wasn't the all-time biggest horrible thing.
It was really disturbing. as the death toll came out that day, it's like they were holding out for a few more people to pass away. You know, it's at 27 right now, but we've got a few more people in the hospital, and we won't know what happened until the end of the day. They were really hoping to get that 32, 33, really get it up into the now, whether Adam Lanza knew that or not, whether he had a specific number in mind going in is unclear. But it is clear that you really have to make history. You have to set a record to be remembered. That's all we care about. It doesn't even matter what the record is.
I remember when I was in undergrad, and I took a class in religious history, and one of the professors talked about how nostalgia was sort of being shortened. So, like, people used to be nostalgic about things that happened 40 years ago, but then our generation would get nostalgic about, like, what happened 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And I see that on Facebook, like, people would be like, do you remember these? And it'll just be, like, you know, Slinkies or something that, you know, happened 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, the nostalgia clock people have written about has moved up to the nostalgia clock is 10 minutes ago. And people miss a certain iteration of Facebook. You know, Facebook's always changing. Like, oh, I really remember the days when Farmville was always in my feed. That was really good. And you didn't have that timeline, you know?
Right. Well, and like every time Facebook changes, there's an outcry for 4 days and then everyone's okay with it. So maybe that's related.
Well, people were talking about the Arab Spring and all these tweets that came out during the Arab Spring. And they're like, oh, now they're being lost. They're fading into history. Mm. As a historian, it's really daunting to think about, especially someone like me that does the late 20th century and beyond. It's really daunting to think about how you're going to have to go about doing history then, because you're going to have – what are you going to do? Go through someone's to write their biography? Go through their entire Gmail inbox?
Well, 20,000, what's the answer?
I don't know.
How are you going to handle this?
I think the challenge is going to be to figure out a way to process all this information, which people try to do with these year-end recaps, but they invariably end up recapping things that are meaningless.
Well, what do they choose? Like, how do they choose what they put on their list?
Well, for instance, what was one big story this year? Elmo? Didn't something happen with the Elmo guy?
Yes. Like, okay, so first, the Elmo voice gets accused.
It's a person of
some
kind.
The Elmo voice gets accused of preying upon like a 16-year-old person, and having a relationship. And he says, it's true. I had a same-sex relationship, but he was an adult. And then he settled with that person, and then there were more accusers. So what do you think is going to happen with the Elmo accuser?
Well, that's a strange thing. So what happened, right, was that he said that he was having relations with that person
yes.
after the age of consent.
Right.
And that makes it okay. I don't care one way or the other. I think this whole thing really humanizes Elmo in a way that other kind of situations could not.
Do you think Elmo will actually benefit from this sort of publicity boost?
I think that more people know of him now than, you know, it's not just the Tickle Me Elmo, you know, and when you see the Tickle Me Elmo, you can think specifically about someone actually tickling him and not just the puppet.
Here's the thing. Did you know there was a documentary about the Elmo guy?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
I never saw it.
I watched the documentary on Netflix this summer, and the guy, the voice, he was married and he has a daughter who's now like in college, and he said on the documentary that his relationship failed because he was like so focused on Elmo and like other people's kids that he didn't focus on his own family. And I thought that was sad enough, but it turns out he was just closeted.
Yeah, it wasn't the Elmo. It wasn't the workload that was really right. getting him down. It's just the fact that he was gay.
He liked boys, right.
So it painted him as a family man in the documentary.
Yeah.
How old is he? Is he in his 30s, 40s?
No, he's in his 40s. And like in the documentary, they showed his daughter's sweet 16 party.
Oh, so 16.
I think. Yeah. And now she's like in her 20s, I think. She's in college or something. But, like, you know, he's trying to be, like, a super great dad. And in the party, he had, like, all these celebrities with Elmo wishing her a happy birthday and stuff. So what he didn't mention is that it turns out he's into 16-year-old boys.
See, well, this is another weird thing, and I've thought about this, too. In terms of the age of consent, we're immediately going to pillory someone who would sleep with a 17-year-old
yes.
or a 16-year-old. In Pennsylvania, for instance, you can be 19 and sleep with a 16-year-old, and it's okay.
Oh.
You can't be 20. When you take the bar, this is a lesson that you learn. Because of a corruption of minors statute in Pennsylvania, there's an age range. You can be 17 and 20, but you can't be 17 and 22.
Really?
And you can't do anything with anyone under 15 if you're, like, you know, 20.
No matter
there's
what.
There's no three-year rule for that.
Oh.
So there is that's like a high school exception, I guess. So if you're 16 and you know she's 18 or vice versa, you're in the clear because
wow.
there's both an age of consent in Pennsylvania and a statute, some sort of corruption of minor statute in place. And that's
where did we come up with the 18 the rule of adulthood at 18?
It's very unclear because we have records going back and people getting married at 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
Conception, conception pretty much when people are at childbearing age. So it's unclear. 18 is a high bar. And, you know, to have the drinking age at, what, 21? It's unclear how these numbers are arrived at. The drinking age, I guess, is some sort of like actuarial or insurance figure that's set in such a way that they know that X number of fatalities will occur if it's at 21, 20, 19, 18.
What if he was using the Elmo, though, to groom them?
Wow. To get them, to get people who are in 8, 7, 6, and 5 to get accustomed
to
that
right?
voice.
Can we agree on that?
If that voice is in any way involved with Elmo's personal life, Elmo voice's personal life, then I think that's very, very disturbing.
Let's move on.
If the puppet is involved in any way.
Well, here's what I wanted. The most important thing for me in 2012 was Honey Boo Boo.
That's a huge show. That's everywhere.
Huge show, and I am personally affectionate towards the Boo Boo family.
Yeah, the Boo Boo tribe is very...
Tell me your feelings.
Well, I had the show on because my wife... My wife watched the show. She was really captivated by Honey Boo Boo's emergence from another reality show where she was just sort of a side character.
Yes.
And at first it seemed the Boo Boo family is very authentic, you know, authentically redneck.
Yeah.
But it seems, and you've been on reality TV, so maybe you can tell me about this. It seems that, can they ever replicate the beginning of their appearance on reality TV?
Right.
Or are they always going to be the boo-boos on display? Because the mom is like just a character. She's like Grimace from McDonald's.
Right.
And she has all these catchphrases.
Right. I mean,
can Mama Boo Boo ever be anything but the character of Mama Boo Boo now?
Well,
and they're famous.
They are, but she seems committed to their white trash roots.
But in the way that it's still, but they're now the Boo Boo family. They're, right. they're recognizably,
right.
Like the Jersey Shore people, did right. they change?
Right. Like
they're
they
stars.
Seem to stay the same, but the problem is what you're describing is that how could it ever be authentic again once you know that you're a character?
That was Chuck Klosterman's point about The Real World. After the first season of The Real World, and after three or four more seasons, all of the characters began to fall into recognizable models.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's like Puck. That guy's like the girl that got slapped by the girl that had Lyme disease that got slapped. This, and everybody is just some copy of someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, you encountered that. But I guess with your show, there was at least an element of competition.
Well, back in the day, like I always say this on my show, like when I was cast, it was before Survivor or anything. So like there was kind of a diversity of cast members. And I was, yes, I was the token Christian, naive, young person. But now I feel like it's just party people. Like there is no diversity anymore.
That all reality TV is just party people,
well,
or MTV,
the
reality.
Real World, yeah, and like Jersey Shore and those shows.
They seem to know exactly who they want with those shows.
Well, yeah, and they have this new show, Buck Wild, coming out.
Wasn't she around before?
Who?
Buck Wild.
Buck Wild is the.
Isn't she?
It's the New Jersey. It's the West Virginia version of the Jersey Shore.
Oh, okay, that's right. This is the redneck show. Buck Wild was a character on Flavor of Love.
You're right. That is true. That is a good reference.
What's happened to her? Do you know?
I should have her on the podcast.
She was probably on like Year in Review 2006.
Right. And is no longer
so there's
relevant.
Now a show, so the name of that show is Buck Wild. And there was also a former failed reality person named Buck Wild.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know. I mean, the Buck Wild, I guess this is another attempt to cash in, to find more boo-boos.
But what are they really getting at? Are they trying to caricature American like regions or what?
Well, you know how they make these shows. I mean, how much of a real person gets captured on the show?
Right.
And like they find people, they cast them, they interview them, I guess. I don't know how they would find people for this show. Maybe word of mouth.
Did you see The Wild and Wonderful Whites?
Yes, that's
okay.
A very good documentary.
Yeah, and it was made by the guy from Jackass.
Yes.
I forget his name.
Knoxville?
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville. And this is kind of like the Jersey Shore version of that documentary. So it's these Appalachian style young people who like are really into like quads.
Oh yeah, all my relatives have quads.
Okay.
Out in
so
the Mon Valley.
So it's that lifestyle of like
quads,
outdoorsy,
dump trucks,
yeah.
grinding up OxyContin. Which they do in that documentary. It's really bracing when the whites do that.
Right. And so, you know, people of course, just like they did with the Jersey Shore, are saying this is the worst and they're going to people are going to die on the show and whatever. It's outrageous, but it's also the truth.
Yeah, that's true. The show may capture in its first season some aspects of that lifestyle. Do you think it will make it glamorous? Was teen momming really glamorous when they were doing all the teen mom stuff? Because remember, there was Juno, there was Teen Mom.
Right.
16 and Pregnant a separate show?
It's part of that, yeah.
So this, that, the people were, then the regular news would say, oh, are they glamorizing teen pregnancy?
Well, what's your answer?
I really don't know. I mean, I think the Jersey Shore, I think with anything, any kind of cultural phenomenon, what happens is people will pick up on elements, you know, of, oh, this rapper or that person from that reality show and incorporate it into sort of what they're saying or what they're talking about during the day. I don't know how much it really moves the needle in terms of people's actual behaviors. There's probably plenty of people like the family that will be videotaped that will never even watch the show. You know, plenty of really, really truly hillbilly family even be watching another one on TV?
Yeah. Well, it's not a family. It's like the Jersey Shore where it's like a bunch of young people.
Are they putting them together
in
a house?
Yeah, in contrived way like that.
Well, then I wonder how much will really – like with the Boo Boo family at least, you get to see them – you get to see them how they live.
Right.
And the dad is sort of this pathetic, put-upon character. Sugar Bear, is that his name?
Sugar Bear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who just sort of does whatever his heavyset daughters want him to do.
Well, but the weird thing is that Shuggy is only Honey Boo Boo's dad. He's not the dad to the other.
That.
Yeah. So and he's not married to June, the mom.
I did not know that.
They
either.
Live in San Oliver.
Wow. But has June Boo Boo been married?
I don't believe so. She just says that all the other dads are out of the picture.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know about you, but I don't find her attractive. And so it shocks me that so many men have been willing to.
Well, I don't find her attractive not because she's obese, because, you know, that doesn't. There are heavy set women that society will hold up,
right?
As beautiful. You know,
sure.
Like, oh, London Andrews is very pretty. Or,
yeah.
Or the woman from Dreamgirls is attractive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Hudson. And these people are very pretty. But Boo Boo Mama has like pig eyes, has like, you know, squinty,
right,
pig eyes on an ugly face.
Right. And she's not so charming.
No, she's pretty rough. But maybe in that area, maybe the willingness is sufficient.
Yeah, because apparently he's like 5'2".
Sugar Bear.
Yeah, Shuggy's
How tall is she then?
Well, she's taller than him, for sure. You know, 5'6" or something.
Okay, I thought then I'm all right. I thought that they were both like 5'7" or 5'8".
No, he's tiny.
Wow.
And he is a salt miner. No, wait, chalk miner.
Oh,
what's
amazing.
That? I don't even know.
He's always working.
Honey Boo Boo says she's a chalk miner's daughter. I don't even know what that is.
Wow. this is now season one of that show, right? Is in the bank. That came
well, yeah,
out last year.
And I had
through.
Heard there was going to be a Christmas special, which either I missed or never happened. But they were supposedly filming season two throughout the fall.
So is she your person of the year?
Yeah. Honey Boo Boo is my person of 2012.
What do you think she added to 2012? Like,
here
what do you think is her
I
thing?
Love. Okay. I heard people say, like, that show, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, is what's wrong with America. They're uneducated. Mm-hmm. It's like the glorification of ignorance, all that stuff. My personal feeling is that unlike the Jersey Shore, the Real World, all these horrible reality shows, they actually love each other. And on this show, they have affection for each other and they care about each other and they don't fight and they don't drink and they don't do drugs or anything. They just are unattractive. And I think that's the only thing that's wrong with them, really. And that if they were pretty, people wouldn't have such a problem with them. Like, I watch Bachelor Pad, where all the rejects from Bachelor and Bachelorette
go on. That's
really
a depressing show.
And they practically have sex on camera. And everybody's okay with it because they're pretty.
Remember that moment where the guys threw eggs at the ugliest girl?
Yes! Yes, Oliver!
It's
they
truly
had
a great moment.
On the Bachelor Pad, they had to choose the ugliest girl in the house and throw an egg at her. And this one girl got all the eggs. And in real life, she would be a pretty girl.
And most people would think that she's the most attractive girl in a given
in the
setting.
Room. Yeah. And so
that's yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's really, really disturbing to think about. Then, but not for the fact that those people are all so awful that they would all throw eggs at this girl. But
right.
What do the viewers at home, many of whom are less attractive than the girl,
right?
What do they think when they see her getting egged? Do they think that
they
are more attractive than she is, and that they would egg her as well?
Yes.
So
how is that possible,
all,
though?
That's all disturbing. And I think your point is actually right. Honey Boo Boo, the family, the Boo Boo family, is probably the closest thing to a real family that's been put on TV since Roseanne.
Yes. And that's why I love Roseanne,
like,
too.
Like Roseanne before the crazy ending.
Yes. Right.
Where
the last season doesn't
Dan
count.
Dan Connor's dead, I think. It's all a dream.
Which reminds me, Oliver, I think you'll be really excited. Guess who my next interview is?
No idea.
DJ from Roseanne.
What?
Yes. Michael Fishman.
What's he doing now? Does he still have the bowl cut?
No.
He had a sweet bowl cut.
No, he has not. But I love Roseanne, and that's why I love Honey Boo Boo. It's the same reason. These are actually real people that care about each other.
Yeah.
Even if they're flawed and maybe not the most beautiful, they actually are upstanding people. But the American public can't handle ugly people on TV.
Yeah, so nobody has brought that part up. Everyone just says they're ugly and like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Or that they represent some collapse of our culture. The fact that the Jersey Shore, which is leaving the air.
Right.
That was far worse.
Far.
I mean, all they did was cheat on one another.
They drank themselves silly.
They used steroids.
They get in fights all the time. And the Boo Boo family, they are like each other. And they just do silly things like guess who's breath.
And on that same point, Honey Boo Boo, when she appears in these beauty pageants, like the regular Toddlers and Tiara show, most of those girls, their parents have turned them into things that are sort of disgusting. And Honey Boo Boo just goes into the pageants looking like herself.
Right. And she always wins like People's Choice.
Yeah.
She never wins the actual pageant. She always just wins like most personality.
It's admirable. They don't buy her the fake teeth. They don't.
The flippers.
Flippers. That's what they call them. they don't do any of that stuff. And yet she competes in pageants. It's almost like they're forcing her on the pageants.
What do you think would be the next reality show genre? What do you see coming up? You mentioned something about maybe it going a little further.
Oh, all right. You know, I mean, we've covered so much ground. You have the polygamy show where they try to paint this guy looks like Vince Neil or
as some, Sister Wives.
Yes, Sister Wives, yes. With the Vince Neil looking guy as some sort of great man, or at least it tries to humanize them, I guess.
Well, what do you think about polygamy?
I guess you probably have some, whether you have 5 husbands and 10 wives, or you know, you have some sort of mixed community, you probably can have a lot of cost savings if you get a big enough house.
Is that how you determine its, like, value?
I think if we disentangled it from religious doctrine one way or the other, we could probably save a lot of money with, you know, because polyamory is big right now.
Yes, it is.
Especially in the online dating community. Everybody says they're polyamorous. They're with, like, they have like this like schlub of a boyfriend and they want to add a second girl or boy or thing to the mix and then just go to town. So
that's weird.
Why not just open it all up, I guess, and then move them all in and everybody could just work jobs. You could have 3 wives at home, 2 husbands at home, 5 people out at work.
Have you visited the Sister Wives online jewelry store?
No, does one of them sell jewelry or?
All of them do. It's called the SisterWivesCloset.com.
Do they make it?
Well, they sell it. they design it.
Like, do they bead it together? Or like, cause
it's all like sterling silver.
It's puzzling. So they're not knitting it for you.
No, but they design it and they design it with you in mind, Oliver.
Me specific? So you can order customized sterling silver?
Well, no, but like they try to think of what their fans would like.
With that many wives, they should be able to have a full-scale knitting operation to make scarves and hats.
Why do you assume that they can knit?
There's 10 of them, right? Or how many are there?
There's 3 wives. Wait.
There's more than that.
4 wives.
Okay, so that's enough. You know, they can have an operation. Yeah. They could bring in more. they could bring in people at minimum wage to be other wives to do the lesser work.
Well, what do you think is the next reality show genre?
Incest. Because there's got to be someone around the country who's sleeping with his mom or with a cousin, somebody that's in some kind of strange relationship like that. And they're probably keeping it secret. Unless they're really rich.
Have you seen that show, Strange Love?
I have not.
I have heard about it.
Have they done an episode on that?
No, but they should. I've seen an episode on, like, this guy that was in a relationship with his car.
Yeah. Oh, if we can find someone that if we can find someone that loves a car or loves someone else in a fursuit.
Well, no, wait. They also had one episode about a person that was in love with a blow-up doll.
Yes. They've even had movies about that sort of thing. Those have already entered the mainstream to where we think that that's acceptable. But I don't think anybody has put a human face on incest yet.
Is it time?
Yeah, and I'm not talking second cousins, you know, because we got presidents who've married their second cousins. I'm talking either first cousin.
Who is the president?
The Roosevelts. You know, Eleanor and Franklin.
They were second cousins.
Yeah. There's a few other examples, I think, but we have, and certainly in royal families,
it's been done.
Yeah,
we need sister, brother,
or son, mother.
Well, do you approve of that type of relationship?
These days, I don't think we can even say we approve or disapprove of anything, any kind of sexual conduct. What difference would it make?
Yeah.
The moral majority has tried and failed to set these standards.
All right, I need to try to stay on topic here. Let's think about the future. Let's think about
2013.
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. What's coming? books, movies, celebrities, what do you see as the predictions for the year?
Oh, vampires have been big and zombies have
They've been big. Are they going to stay relevant?
You know, what about, have werewolves come into the medium yet?
Like there was Teen Wolf on MTV. It's been remade.
It came back as a show.
As a series, yeah.
Wow, I wonder if they found someone who could capture the appeal of a Jason Bateman or Michael J. Fox.
I think it went down the tubes.
I don't think werewolves have the same appeal. Frankenstein's, possibly. But there's only one of those at any time.
Frankenstein. There's only one, right.
There's a Bride of Frankenstein, I guess. Yeah. They make a second one. But you have to manufacture Frankenstein's.
Well, so do you think vampires will just be out? Or do you think people will try to...
I think we are moving from vampires to zombies. The Twilight series is done. Zombies are... My wife watches The Walking Dead, you know, a show where you basically just watch to see characters get killed from week to week. And you know, people rip their faces off and that's the show.
Yes.
But I'm trying to think of what would be a different monster than a zombie, because it's just this gross thing.
Let me ask you this. What is appealing about either vampires or zombies? Why are people going crazy for these things?
People have said that, you know, zombies maybe reflect some idea of where we're headed. You know, we could become a sort of brain dead, infected, mumbling thing.
Because up until The Walking Dead, they were often like in shopping malls. They were associated with consumerism, right?
And then vampires, I guess there's a sexiness to it. You know, the thing you can't have.
Yeah. And that they like chomp on your neck.
Yeah. So there's some biting, something sexual about them. A new monster would have to evoke some of those things. I guess witches and wizards came and went too. Wizards came and went. That was all about school.
I guess it'll just be more zombies. Because The Walking Dead shows no signs of stopping.
And all other monsters seem to be too specific. Like, you can't have a Cyclops show. I mean, that could just be a deformed person with one eye. And then that's not funny at all. That's just a disabled person. You know? Like, and then kids would want to go Cyclops, and they would blind themselves.
Well, what about, like, what else will be hot in 2013? Like, what about toys and stuff? Because I'm a mom. Like, what should I buy my kid, do you think?
It seems like, have you seen these things called Beyblades, Susan?
Yeah.
I saw them this Christmas for the first time. It seems like a great idea. Just these little metal discs that cost about $10 a unit.
We should try to invent something. What do you think?
I've thought of some.
What?
I want to use something that involves the slingshot. Where you slingshot some kind of metal thing at other kids or at other...
That seems dangerous.
Well, these Beyblades are pretty dangerous, too.
No!
You want to have a dangerous toy so that the news
Beyblades
media...
The Beyblades are a glorified top.
They've got a metal edge, though, and small parts that you can swallow. No matter what toy you make, you want to have a little bit of danger to it. You know, like with Legos, the kids can always eat them.
Or step on them. Have you ever stepped on a Lego?
It's a pain. They don't break easily. Your foot will break before the Lego does. Yeah. Those molds they come out of are so good. Right. You can always tell it's a generic if it breaks underfoot. The Lego will just embed itself.
I was recently on my friend Evan from the Real World Road Rules Challenges. I was on his podcast called Meat and Potatoes. And he was asking me about motherhood. And I was explaining how, you know... I've heard of this before, but I'd never experienced it until I had my own son, where you buy all these really fancy, expensive toys, and then, like, what he really wants is my spatula. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a box could be enough.
So, my idea is to make a line of toys that are just kitchen utensils.
It's a brilliant idea. Deceptive toys.
Right. And a remote that doesn't look like a toy. That looks identical to my real remote or my iPhone.
That's perfect. It could even be functional.
Why are people doing this?
All the toys that you need could also double.
Right, because I don't want to buy a new iPhone. That'd be like hundreds of dollars. What I want is the thing that looks like an iPhone that does nothing.
Wow.
It just lights up and stuff.
That's a fantastic idea. Chameleon toys, you know, things to throw off the children.
That's
things that'll
a great
blend
name.
Into the household.
Chameleon Incorporated, we could call it.
Kids will run for them, you know. Pots and pans you should never cook in, but they're perfect toys.
Right. They're not safe for actual production.
Billy really wants the outdoor grill.
Okay, so I have an important question about 2013. And I think that you're aware that I am a part of a celebrity death poll.
Yeah, that you keep track of who's... I'll be in that this year.
I know you're in it, and that's what makes me think you won't help me. The poll for my listeners is basically that I have to choose 20 people that I think will die in the next year. And the points that I receive will be based on their age. So if a person is 20, I will get 80 points because it's subtracted from 100. So the younger the person is that dies, the more points I get. The problem is I've been competing in this poll for a few years, and it turns out who wins is whoever knows some sort of obscure athlete that's in like the Baseball Hall of Fame that had pancreatic cancer that I don't know.
Yeah, getting Ron Santo a couple years ago would have been good.
Yeah.
He kicked off in his 60s.
And I'm sick of it.
There's a lot of people on the way out in 2013.
Are you going to tell me any
of them? I'll give you some hints. I mean, because there's no guarantees, you know. You could load your list with names like H.W. Bush, but how many points would you get for him? He's 88, 89.
12 points.
So you could have a lot of sure things.
I'd be okay with that.
I mentioned the name Elizabeth Taylor, but she's already dead.
She is.
Isn't that weird? Like, this poll forces you to realize how many people are already dead.
Right. Well,
Bob Hope, he's gone.
Long
he would
gone.
Give you negative points.
Well, yeah, if they're over 100, then that's a negative.
Yeah, they're just hanging on at this point.
I mean, obviously we're going to choose Lindsay Lohan because she's always...
Amanda Bynes is one I said was a sleeper. She's really on the decline.
She is, and she's in denial.
Like, she's what has she been doing? She's been on the tabloid covers. Drinking?
Well, they have her smoking a meth or crack pipe.
Has she gained weight or lost
it? No, she looks good.
She's smoking crack. I guess it'll help keep it off.
Right.
It's crack.
Yeah, it helps burn the calories. But she's been, like, hitting and running. Like, she'll hit a car and then just go home.
That's a good pick, then. She's reckless. And we know she's still behind the wheel.
Right. I'll take her. But, like... What old, like 70-year-old baseballer has pancreatic cancer? That's what I want to know.
People at risk. Baseball's the wrong sport to go with. You want to look to 50-year-old NFL players because, number one, they're committing suicide a lot recently.
Yeah, what do you got? Any?
And number two, the offensive linemen are all grotesquely obese, and that really taxes the heart as you enter your 50s or 60s.
All right.
I mean, you'll get things like Mike Webster for the Steelers, who's brain dead by his late 50s, he's living in a car.
Is he dead?
Yeah, he's dead. He's died. That would have been a good score, 40-some points, but he passed away.
All right, pro wrestlers.
Hulk Hogan is on the decline. Anyone watching him on TNA?
He's not going to die this year, though.
Looks terrible. He looks terrible.
You
he's
think
had this brutal divorce.
Die? What about Muhammad Ali?
You know,
Parkinson's.
I think that's too easy of a pick.
But I want the points.
He keeps going year after
year.
Yeah,
he does.
Look at him. He made it to the Olympic thing
last
year.
He's the greatest.
The Queen. I was talking to somebody about the Queen. I think that Queen will never go out.
No,
the Queen Mother lived a long time.
Yeah, she's no. All right.
Roddy Piper, the pro wrestler. He's had cancer
Flair.
No, Piper is a good pick because he's had cancer before. That can always come back.
Yeah.
Bret Hart has a serious back injury and I think has battled some other stuff. He could go. Bret the Hitman Hart.
All right.
Tom Billington, the Dynamite Kid. He was one half of the British Bulldogs. He has a Wikipedia, which is the rule of the game. They have to have a Wikipedia to be an eligible death. But Billington's already in a wheelchair and his partner died years ago.
Wow.
So, and he's only in his 50s, I believe.
He's
so
doomed.
This could be the year. They had him on a special recently and he looked really bad.
All right.
There's a lot of good picks. And then as far as the NFL goes, just go to a list of offensive linemen who retired a decade ago. You'll probably find two or three people who are on the way out. Look for obese linemen.
All right. And so as we wrap things up, what else is there anything else you want to talk about last year or predictions for next year?
Wow. 2013. I think that one thing that we need to all be worried about and 2013, something that's really, really very serious and really, really hits us all in the heart filament of our being is the price of milk. Aren't you worried about that milk?
I know. I heard things about this agricultural bill.
I mean, this is a time when I think mothers who are still capable of producing milk should begin stockpiling their yields.
Do you think I should lactate again?
If you can do it. Now that we're talking $15 a gallon milk, $35 a gallon
milk. No, I thought it was $7.
I've heard that it's going to be over $700, and they're actually going to make you pay it whether you drink milk or not. In fact, they're going to pass another bill to supplement the bill that's expiring to increase the price
of
milk.
There is a hysteria.
I think that will be the defining issue of 2013,
you
a
think?
Milk shortage. And the lack of protein
Not
is really...
Not the fiscal cliff or gun control.
Milk. No. I think that guns are here to stay.
You heard it here first.
Milk.
Meisterpiece listeners, it's all about milk in 2013.
The year of milk. Dairy.
And for those of you who are lactose intolerant, we are jealous of you.
You guys have... those people will be the survivors in 2013.
Thank you all for listening to this edition of The Meisterpiece. My guest, Oliver Bateman. He can be found at the Mustache Club of America or his other website, pennyandfarthing.com. And you can find him on Twitter at, what's your handle?
At Mustache Club US.
At Mustache Club US. And you can find me at Susie_Meister on Twitter. Please tune in next time for more hilarious guests and lots of milk in 2013.